Hello and blessings today. It's Bob from Hackberry House. We're learning together every day something from the book of Job in the Bible. It's a devotional series. I'm so glad you could be a part of it. I want you to turn to chapter 2 of the book of Job. It's much, much better if you follow along with me to be sure I'm saying the right things. And if you have a response to any of it, of course, you know my email. Well, we're talking about, speaking of responses, we're talking about the responses of people who were near Job when all these bad things started to happen. Now, you're always going to hear advice from people when you go through a trial. Your spouse will come along first, perhaps. Your friends, close friends, not so close friends. Then you'll be hearing from the man of God, the man who represents the Lord, the church. Then God himself, I think, will find a way to explain to you what's going on. And each round of these advisors will make more and more sense and be more and more true. Some of it you'll see as faulty right away. Some of it may confuse you. Some of it will convict you. But then the final advice will inform you and even give you peace and joy and true repentance. This is exactly what Job is going to go through. Various levels of response, advice, some of it good and some of it not so good at all, and then some of it perfect as God weighs in at the end of the book. Verse 9, then his wife said to him, I'm in Job 2:9, then his wife said to him, do you still hold firm your integrity? Curse God and die. Oh my. If you look at chapter 1:11 and chapter 2:5, it was the devil that stated unequivocally to God that if God allowed these devastations to come into Job's life, Job would turn around and curse God to his face. Well, that never happened. There was challenge. There was frustration. There was complaining. Maybe Job went a little too far in justifying himself, and God had to really straighten him out later. But he never cursed God. Mrs. Job seems to have been in touch with this heavenly conversation, I don't know, either through common knowledge or some revelation of what was going on in the spirit world, whatever, she teamed up with the devil here and urged her husband to take a chance. No need to keep suffering like this. Hey, we've lost everything. We've lost our children. Now you've got this loathsome disease and I've got to be taking care of you every day. Come on, just get smart, husband. You're too religious. Let go of this religiosity and let God take you out of this misery. Just say something that will be interpreted as a curse to him and let him punish you and kill you. It's okay. Now, how much she knew about the afterlife, we don't know. There's a universal feeling like, well, he's out of his misery now. He just died. He's out of his trouble. No, according to the Bible, he's just beginning his misery. What we experience on earth is not misery at all in comparison to what is in the afterlife. I don't think she knew that much about it. I don't think she was wanting to condemn her husband to eternal hell. She just wanted to let the suffering be over for him and maybe partly for herself too. But Job's not buying. Verse 10, he says to her, you're speaking as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we actually accept good from God, but not accept adversity? So our brother Job here, he's starting out with a great attitude, don't you think? I think many of us have been schooled enough in the things of God that when trouble comes, we're able to be positive and encouraging for a while. But then the thing continues on. How long is this going to last? Days, weeks, months? For some years, many years? How strong is that faith now? We're going to see how that deteriorates pretty soon in the story of Job. But it says here, so far, despite all that's happened to him, Job did not sin with his lips. That's the end of verse 10. Job did not sin with his lips. I want to put a little in parentheses there, at first. At first. How much he sinned later, only God was able to pick up and address, as he will at the end of the book. Verse 11, now when Job's three friends heard about all this adversity that had come upon him, they came, each one from his own place, Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite. We're going to talk about these men's origin when we come to them individually. But note here how great this man Job was to have friends from different and maybe distant places. He was a well-known, well-respected man of his day. And the word has gotten out, Job may be dying. Job's in trouble. You got to go see him. And so they did. They made an appointment together, I'm still in verse 11, to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. As Job's attitude was good at the beginning, I think the motivation of these men was good at the beginning. We don't want to be downing these men at first. All they knew was that their respected friend was going through it, and they wanted to do something. Then they heard Job speak his mind, and they changed their mind. When they looked from a distance and did not recognize him, verse 12, they raised their voices and cried. I mean, it was real. They tore their robes. They threw dust over their heads. They were sorrowing. This was a real thing. This was their friend Job. And they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights, with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. Now, people have criticized these men for just sitting there for a week. Would you like that? If you're in this huge trouble and people just come to your house and they sit and they don't say, well, I think in the context of that era, that way of life, I think this was not a bad thing. The scripture is clear that they were doing a good thing, not knowing how to speak. We wish they had stayed silent, right? And Job would have been spared a lot of pain. This was round two, level two of the advice giving. First, go ahead and die, curse God. Well, no, we're not going to go there. Then these guys come along. Well, we haven't come to their advice yet, but we'll see how painful this is going to be too. But we're glad that they did do what they did, because otherwise we would not have known the depth of the problem that God was dealing with inside of Job. They triggered him to say things that he regretted later, but that was in his heart. And it's, you know what? It's in your heart too, I think, and in my heart, where somebody triggers us and, oh, we do something we shouldn't, but where did that come from, this thing that just came out of our mouth? Where did it come from? It came from in me. I'm not blaming God for saying that or doing that. No, there's stuff inside of me and inside of you that has to be dealt with, and God's going to deal with it. Do you have friends that start out well-meaning in your painful time, but they do more damage than good? Have you been a friend like this, wanting to help, but not really informed enough to help with the proper help, and so you piled on more pain? Not good, right? Not good. Well, next time, Job is going to begin to curse. The devil said he would. His wife wanted him to, but he didn't curse God. No, he's going to curse his birthday. You ever done that? We'll talk about it next time. Hey, don't forget to look over the rest of the site. Spurgeon sermons, reports from the persecuted church. We just started today. It'll come out Friday the 17th. A series on World Missionary Press. I really want you to listen to this. This is the most fascinating group that you'll ever see in the church of today. I think one of the most. Just check it out. I've fallen in love with this group. I want you to do the same if possible. We're also studying Gernal's classics on spiritual warfare, and there's just a whole lot of other things on the site. I hope you'll go there. Sign up for the podcast or download the app. And let me know you're there. I'm at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. Lord willing, we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.